The reading for today is from chapter 16 of the book of Exodus. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I'm about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord who brought you out of the land and has heard your grumbling against him. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, 'Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling.'" And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, your God.' In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' But they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Park Yeon-mi is a young woman who escaped from North Korea with her mother. In her book, In Order to Live, she tells the harrowing story first of her life there in North Korea, then of the escape, and then two torturous years involving human trafficking and a struggle to be freed from that, a trek across much of China and Mongolia before finally they were able to reach South Korea and freedom. I was struck by so many things, but one of them came to me in reading the text for this week. Their family lived through a decade of horrible famine in North Korea in the 1990s. Over 3.5 million people died of starvation. They, like so many others, were reduced to trying to find anything to be able to provide some nutrition. She describes the best kinds of bugs: mice, rats, various plants that you could at least fill your belly with, whether there was much nutrition or not. But even more than all of that, what struck me was she talked about how her mother early on, like others, had initially been generous, everyone working together, trying to share what little bit they had, helping out one another. But as the famine continued, what took over everywhere was the most extreme kind of selfishness. Nothing would be shared. Anything that was there would stay with the family, for the family, in order to live, just to try to live. The maybe Israel's not quite as bad as we might think when we read Exodus chapter 16. A grumbling people out there in the wilderness whose point of reference is pots of meat and plenty of bread. Yeah, it was an awful thing being a slave, but they were fed. Their bellies were full. They weren't facing a famine. All they were doing was grumbling. It kind of makes sense, don't you think? Come on. A little bit of complaining out in the wilderness. Don't think romantic, beautiful thoughts about going for a lovely hike when you hear wilderness. Think desert and think nothing to eat and nothing to drink often as well. It makes sense. And we should see that human sin is often like that. It is completely understandable to us, fellow human beings. It makes perfect sense to us fallen ones. We see that when marriage gets a little rocky, it's just natural to covet that perfect spouse of another person, right? Of course. And of course, we covet the things that we don't have either, because we don't have them. Oftentimes, we need them. At the very least, we want them. It makes sense. When you're the victim of gossip, and when somebody has ripped you apart verbally, it just makes sense to return the favor to them, to let others know exactly what a lousy person they are. Of course, it all makes sense. Even cutting some corners with money, maybe some big corners when you're really desperate. And are you really going to blame somebody who's hungry and steals some bread? Doesn't it just make sense? Isn't it actually pretty reasonable? And yeah, we can even understand why someone would be so drawn to another person emotionally and physically that, well, that they might bypass the bonds of marriage and go right into fornication or even adultery. It does kind of make sense. And we certainly get the desire for vengeance. I understand that completely, don't you? Being hurt by one means you want to hurt them back. It's simple. It's basic. It's reasonable. And rebellion against authority? Well, look at the authorities and what else makes more sense than rebellion and disrespect and scorn for them. And yeah, the fact is it even makes sense that we sin against God because he lets us down. He leads us into the wilderness and there's not enough food to eat. He takes us into days and times in our lives where even though we've prayed, lead us not into temptation, that's right where we are. And it's not going well. And it's hard to see exactly what he's doing. As a matter of fact, we don't see it at all. It makes sense. Start to wonder, to doubt. Who's going to blame the parent whose child just died from cancer from being angry and rebelling and turning against the God who let them down? And who really cares about cursing or watching your mouth in light of stuff like that or going to church? What's that all about? Is it really such a big deal when your life is falling apart at the seams? Sin is all so reasonable in a fallen world. It really does make sense. Yeah, it is truly reasonable and absolutely wrong. Moses nails it. They're just grumbling. No, they are rebelling against their only hope. With all the sense that sin seems to make, the reality is it is the supreme irrationality. For in this screwed up, broken world and in your lives and minds, with all the brokenness that we face, There's finally only one hope still. And as much as we might scorn him and doubt him and lose our hope and lose our trust, it's still true. So Israel grumbles and Moses rages, and God feeds his people, this rebellious bunch of people, bread and meat. And in a chapter ahead, water in the midst of the driest desert. And yeah, he will test them, and yes, he will also chastise them, because that too is part of a loving father's role, but he feeds them. He provides for them. And they grumble and they complain and they gripe. And for 40 years, he cares for them. And no, he won't let them into that Canaan. But he promises something far greater that they can never imagine. And yeah, it's really slow, because they don't see it with their eyes. But this good God, this Lord, their God, is the one who sends his own son to be flesh for one reason only: to take on that sick virus of sin that so infected them that it turned their minds upside down, that does the same thing for you and me and makes sin and rebellion against the one who is life and salvation seem to make sense. He takes that in himself. He who knew no sin became sin, that we, rebellious children, might become the righteousness of God. He goes to the cross. He takes the whole deadly poison on himself, suffers and dies. Atones for rebels, grumblers, sinners, all of us. And in the meantime, he feeds and he clothes and he cares. He provides in ways that sometimes we want and oftentimes that we might think is not enough. But he doesn't stop, because he is constant, though we aren't. His love for you, for me, it continues. A father's love, seen most clearly in the Son, who goes to the cross for us and whose resurrection is for us. In the Son who feeds thousands and then more, millions, his whole Christian church on earth with his very body and blood. The same one that took on the poison, the death, so that we might have life. Only there, finally, is where we see our hope, our certainty, our assurance. In him. Only in him. Finally, there in him is the end of all of our grumbling. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.